Today's shir in the Sech Chulin Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Tes on an Aleph, second line from the top. Bam Rav Yudam Rav. Talmud Chacham Sarak Shilmet Gimel Dvaran has to learn three different areas of halacha. Ksav. And we have here Machoikis amongst the Mefarshim. What is the definition of Ksav? Some Mefarshim said the definition of Ksav means that he has to know how to sign his signature, because it was very common that Talmid Chachamim were asked to sign their name to different documents. Others say that the definition of Ksav is that he has to be familiar with Hilchis Shtaris. Throughout Shas, we many times encounter Hilchis Shtaris, different halachas that apply to documents, and that the Talmid Chacham has to know those halachas. Others say that the Talmud Chacham has to have a neat handwriting so that people should be able to read what he writes. Others I saw say the Chacham Shloima says that the Talmud Chacham has to know how to write, means that he has to have an ability to write well, proper grammar, proper vocabulary, proper spelling. For all of these are important characteristics in writing a good letter, to the point that I saw a very interesting pshat that we know that every person has the obligation to give tzedakah, and many times Talmid Chachamim are not necessarily wealthy enough to give tzedakah, but if they are able to write letters on behalf of institutions and letters on behalf of poor people who need tzedakah, that's their way of contributing. And that's what the Gemara here means with the Talmud Chacham, that the Talmud Chacham has to have that ability to write letters, to write well, so that he could contribute to tzedakah when so is necessary. In fact, I saw from the Yaakov Me'amloyes that he writes that there was a custom that they would put under the pillow of a child a pen, that it should be a skula, that this child, as he grows up, should have this ability to write. For as we're learning in our Gemara, writing is such an important tool that Talmidei Chacham need to have. Shechita. And here the Mefarshim explained that Shechita doesn't mean the halachas of Shechita. For of course, a Talmud Chacham needs to know the halachas of Shechita. What it means is that he actually has to know how to shecht. Umila, and the same thing is that he has to know how to do a bris milah, for as the Rishonim explain, he may end up in a place where there is no shaychit, there is no moil, and that's when he's going to be called on to do so, and Talmud Chacham should be prepared to do so. Interesting to point out that I saw from the Sharm Tzion Balocha that he quotes that there was a minig that the same individual should not be both a shaychit and a moil. He says it seems from our Gemara that that the same person can be a shoychet and a moil. So he says that the Rechayim was very makbid that the same person should not be shoychet and a moil, because he was concerned that the person may get confused, and when he's doing a shechita, he may end up, when he's doing a mila, he may end up doing a shechita and make the wrong bracha. But the Rechai and with serious repercussions. It seems from our Gemara, however, that the same individual can be a shoychet and a moil. On the other hand, the Sharm Tzion Balocha says that our Gemara is not speaking about a person who's doing this on a regular basis. Our Gemara is just saying that somebody should be familiar with these halachas, not necessarily that he will be doing this for a profession. Continues the Gemara. V'chanani b'shal m'shmei d'rav amar, af keshesh ha'tfilin. He has to know how to make the knot on the tefillin. And it's interesting to point out that we know that there are different minhagim on how the knot in the back of the tefillin shoroish look. In some communities it looks like a box, and in some communities they make it like a dalet. The Mishnah Berura says it's preferable to make it like a dalet, and if we look into Rashi seems to say that explicitly, because he says v'akesher osui ke'ein dalet. Ubirkas chasadim, he has to know how to be a Masada Kedushin. So as the Miri explains, saying a bracha is obviously not so difficult. Everybody could read a bracha out of a siddur. So he says what it means over here is that he should say it in a pleasant manner, because people expect of the Talmud Chacham who's being Masada Kedushin was saying a bracha, that he should say it in a pleasing manner, v'tzitzis. And he has to also know how to make tzitzis. V'idach, ask the Gemara of Yehuda Merav, who only listed ksav shchitu mila, why doesn't he include tkesh shotfil and brichas san v'tzitzis? Answers the Gemara, hani shchicha. These are very common. So there's a machlokes how to understand the Gemara's teretz. Some explain that what the Gemara means is that since these are so common, the Tanakhama of Yudam Arav assumed that everyone is familiar with them. However, another pshat that I saw is that since they're common, it's very, you go to a cipher to buy tefillin, you go to the svarm store to buy tzitzis, it's not such a hard thing to find somebody to say a bracha under a chuppah. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Merav didn't include them. But then I saw a different pshat. The Renatan considers just the opposite, that he says that ksav, shchita, and mila are so much more common than the other things. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda Merav said that ksav, shchita, mila, given that they are so shchiyach, that's why Talmud Chacham must know them. The other issues are not as common, and therefore one doesn't have to know it. Which opens up a very interesting question. Because Tosfos, we discussed this when we learned the Sefer Menachos, quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Eliyahu that says that one is supposed to make the knot on the tefillin every day. And he bases it on the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, tefillin, me'emesai mevorach aleihem, mishas hanocha v'chas kshira. So it seems that every day there's an obligation to make a kshira on the tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam disputes it, because he says just the opposite. He says our Gemara is not considering this Rabbeinu Tam with the way he's learning Peshat and our Gemara. That our Gemara is saying that tefillin is not shchiyah. Why is tefillin not shchiyah? Because you make the knot on the tefillin once, and the knot that you make on the tefillin once remains forever. If Rabbeinu Eliyahu was right, that a new knot on the tefillin is made every day, then the word shchiach in our Gemara would be difficult to understand. Furthermore, Rabbeinu Tam has another raya that you don't make a separate knot on tefillin every day, because he says that the Gemara Masech the Erevin says that the kesher shel tefillin is an example of a kesher shel kayama, of a permanent knot. So he says that if the halacha is that you make a kesher of tefillin every day, then how can one suggest that the kesher shel tefillin is considered a kesher shel kayom? Continues the Gemara, V'yam Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, kol tabach she'eni yidei hilka shchita, any shoychet that isn't familiar with hilka shchita, asa lechol mishchita soy, one may not eat from his shchita. Here too, most Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rajba, say that it's considered that this is only midrabanan. Midaraisa, any person who shechts and says that he shechted properly, the shechita is a valid shechita. Rabbanan made such a gzera. Although there is a taz that takes the position that it's not even a shechita, valid shechita midaraisa, and that's why he says that there's no din of kisui hadam, there's no din of oisav espanoi when somebody who doesn't know how to shecht shechts. What are the hilchos shechita? Continues Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul saying, Ve'elai Hilchos Shchita, Shia, as we've learned, one may not pause in the middle of doing the Shchita. Drasa, one has to go in the back of fourth motion, not just press the knife. Chaloda, one may not push the knife in between the simonim and shech there, or inside the neck and then shech, has to shech on. That's to be a shchita geluya. The knife has to be completely exposed. Hagroma either means that he shechs too high or too low on the neck, or it means that he shechs at the wrong slant. The ikur, the way Rashi says, it means that he rips out the simonim, which of course the Mepharshim say that goes without saying that ripping out the simonim is not considered a valid shechita. And therefore the Mepharshim explain what Rashi means to say is that one shechted when the knife had on it a pgima, it had on it a nick, and therefore it's not considered that the knife slipped the simonim, it's considered that they were ripped out. As another pshat of ikur is that if the simonim, the kon and the veshit, are not in the proper place, not lined up in the proper place, the shechita is an invalid shechita. The ikur, if they're outside of the right place. Ask the Gemara Maikam Ashmon, what is Shmuel teaching us? Kula Tanina, all of these halachas are the basic halachas of Hilchos Shechita. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, Sheshachal Lefenenu Beza Gemapanim. We're referring to an individual who shechted two or three times in front of us, Veshachat Shachar, and he shechted properly. Madatayim, so we might think, Midi Idach Shachat Shachar, since all the time when he shechted under supervision, he shechted properly, Hai Nami Shachat Shachar, he must have shechted this time as well properly, Kamash Milan. That's why Shmuel teaches us, Kim V'loi Goma, since this person is not knowledgeable in the halakas of Shechita, Zimni the Shah of Adaris, sometimes he may do a Shia or a Drusa, V'loi Yada, not be aware of it, and therefore the Shechita is invalid. Very fundamental Machloikis Rishonim. Our Gemara is teaching us that if somebody shechts when he didn't know the Hilchos Shechita, his Shechita is invalid. What will be the halacha if the person shechted without supervision, without knowing the Hilchos Shechita? Then he learns the Hilchos Shechita, and he tells us, now that I'm familiar with the Hilchos Shechita, I can tell you that when I shechted previously, I know I shechted properly. Will a Shechita be a valid Shechita or not? The Rashba says that the Shechita will not be a valid Shechita. A Shechita done by a Shechit when he wasn't familiar with the Hilchos Shechita is an invalid Shechita. Other Rishonim disagree that as long as he learns the Hilchos Shechita and tells us that he knows he shechted it properly, therefore his Shechita is a valid Shechita. And the Chasam Sofer brings a Raya to the Rashba's opinion. Because he says, why from all of the disqualifications that our Gemara mentioned you could have by Shechita, is the Gemara concerned about Shia Adrusa? Why isn't the Gemara concerned about any other disqualification? For the Chasam Sofer goes on to say that there are other disqualifications that are not noticeable. So he explains very beautifully. He says, indeed, if the Shechita was done, let's say, if the Shechita was done with a Chaluda, where the knife was put in the wrong place, you couldn't tell after the Shechita. But the person who shechts, even if he isn't familiar with Hilchos Shechita, will remember where he put the knife. Whereas Shia Udrusa, only a person who knows that those are disqualifications is careful to make sure that the Shechita doesn't have a Shia Udrusa. A person who doesn't know that halacha doesn't pay attention that it should be an issue. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, the Rashba is right, and the Gemara pointing out specifically these two disqualifications versus all other disqualifications is a raya that even if later he says he shechted properly, it would not be valid. There is, however, another interesting machloikus of the Chasam Sofer and the Rosh Yosef. What would be the halacha if somebody is familiar with some of the halacha shechita, but not familiar with all of the halachas of Shechita? What will be his din? So the Chasam Sofer says, if the halacha that he's not familiar with is a halacha that we could tell afterwards if it was or wasn't violated, for example, hagroma, where that could be always identified, was there hagroma or not, so we'll have an individual who knows all of the other halachas, just didn't know the halacha of hagroma, his Shechita will be kosher. The Rosh Yosef disagrees. And the Rosh Yosef says that our Gemara is teaching us that anyone who's not familiar with all of the halachos of Shechita should not shecht. There's a very interesting Noida Behuda based on the Rashba that we just discussed. We know that the halacha is if someone put in a dairy spoon into a pot with meat. The halacha is we have to evaluate if there's shishim, if the 60 times meat versus the dairy spoon, or vice versa. The halacha furthermore is that we only have to have shishim versus the amount of spoon that was actually put into the pot. And therefore, how deep the spoon was actually put into the pot becomes a very relevant question. So the Paiskim say that, let's say someone stuck a spoon by mistake, obviously, a dairy spoon by mistake into his pot with meat, the Rav can ask him, do you remember how deep you pulled the spoon in? And if he tells us it went up to here or up to there, that's how we make evaluation of the shishim. Ask the Noda Behuda if the Rashba just taught us that we can't rely that somebody will know something after the fact. The person who learned the Hilcha Shechita later can't tell us that the Shechita he did before the Halacha, knowing the Halacha is valid. So why over here do we rely on the person who tells us that he knows they put in the spoon only up to that point? We're obviously dealing with an individual who didn't know what he was doing, because worried to know what he was doing, he would have never put the dairy spoon into the filet sugar pot. Answers the Noda Behuda. There's a very fundamental difference between these two individuals. The person in the Rashba, the person that the Rashba discussed in our Gemara, is the person who doesn't know Hilcha Shechita at all. So since he doesn't know Hilcha Shechita at all, we can't rely on him that he should know, that he should be able to tell us that when he didn't know any of the halachas, he knew to do it properly. Whereas this individual certainly knows the halacha that you're not to put a dairy spoon into a meat pot, and therefore, if he tells us that he only put it up to this point, we can believe him. Furthermore, says the Gemara of Yehuda Mishmu, Hatabach, the Shaykhut Sarach Shiyivdak B'Simonim Achla Shechita. He has to check the Simonim after the Shechita. Most Rishonim say, what it means is he has to check the Simonim, is that as we're going to learn in our Masechta, the halach is that you have to shecht most of the simen. So you have to check after the shechita that you indeed cut most of the simen. And therefore, says the Rosh, if the shechit, while he shechted, saw that he shechted, that he's cut most of the simen, there is no need to check afterwards. However, there are other Rishonim that say that besides what the Gemara means that you have to check the simonim, not only must you check that you severed most of the simon, but you also have to check that the simonim were in their proper place when you did the shechita. Amar Rav Yosef, Afanan Namitanina. We seem to have a raya from the Mishnah, from a Mishnah, that checking the simonim is required, because the Mishnah over there discusses, as we said a few moments ago, that shia, pausing during the act of shechita, disqualifies the shechita. And the Mishnah we're going to learn later in our Masechta on Daf Lamed Beis discusses how much of a pause is considered a pshia. Rav Shimon Aimer, im shor kedei biker, if you pause the amount of time it takes to check, my lav, what does biker mean? Kedei biker simonim, the amount of time it takes to check the simonim. So this is a clear indication that the simonim must be checked, and therefore can be used as the shear for shear. Amalei Abaye, to which Abaye says, Loi, that is not what Rav Shimon means in that Mishnah. Hacham Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said what Rav Shimon means is, Kedei Biker Chacham, the amount of time it takes to take the knife to the Chacham to check. So as we learn, as we're going to learn, the Halacha requires that before shechting, one takes the knife to the Talmud Chacham, out of respect that he should check the knife if it has no nicks in it. Im Kain asked the Gemara Nusafet V'Rech L'Shurim. Sometimes the Chacham lives closer to the slaughterhouse, and sometimes he lives further from the slaughterhouse, so we don't have a uniform amount of time. Answers the Gemara, Ela Kibei Biker Tabach Chacham. We're referring to the situation where the Shaykhet himself is the Talmud Chacham. And therefore the halach is that the shaykhet himself is the one to check the knife before the shechita. So there is no need to take the knife anywhere. And therefore that amount of time doesn't have to be included in deciding in this amount of time, and the amount of time of checking the knife, that's the amount of time that would make the shechita into a shiur. Tosfos, however, points out that not all knives are of the same size. So Tosfos says that every animal has, the knife has to be a certain size compared to the size of the neck of that animal. And therefore there are standard sizes for every type of animal or bird, and the checking of that length of the knife, that's the amount of time of kedei bikur. Loy badek mai, what will be the halacha if one did not check his simonim to make sure that the shechita was done properly? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer ben Atinglas Meshum Rabbi Lezer ben Rabbi Yare Oimer, treifa, that animal is considered a treifa, a surah b'chila. Masnisatana, in a braisa we learned, nevela is considered a nevela matam b'masa. So as the Shalom explained the Gemara, certainly this animal is not a treifa, because the definition of a treifa is an animal that has a certain specific defects. And this animal doesn't have those defects. Rather, the way to understand this Gemara, explained the Rishonim, is that because the simonim were not checked, we're not allowing this animal to be eaten. That's clear. The question now is, how do we treat this animal? We're certainly treating the animal as non-kosher. The question is, when we're treating this animal as non-kosher, what does that mean? Do we treat it like a treifa, or do we treat it like a nevela? For as we've learned, and we will learn, there's a very fundamental difference between a treifa and a nevela. A treifa may not be eaten, but it's not metame. A nevela may not be eaten, and it's metame. And that is the machloikis over here. The Tanakhama says that it may not be eaten, but it's treated, like a treifa, and it's not metame. Whereas the Braisa says, not only may not be eaten, but it's treated like an avela, and therefore it is metama. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of their machlokes? The Baikum Mifgi, and says the Gemara, b'drechuna. They're arguing over what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna says, behema b'chayeh b'cheskes isra medes. An animal, while it's alive, is considered awesome. Has a cheskes isra. Machlokes rishonim, what is the cheskes isra? Rashi says, that the cheskes iser is that the animal, when it's alive, is also because of eved menachai, and that's the cheskes iser that the Gemara refers to. The Rishonim have a question on Rashi, because they say, how can we say that the cheskes iser here is eved menachai? Here the animal is clearly dead, and therefore we certainly cannot consider this animal an eved menachai when we have a dead animal in front of us. And because of that question, many Rishonim, interesting to note, as we will soon point out, even Rashi perhaps, say that the chazaka is a chazaka of Eina Zavuach. That every animal has a chazaka that it's not properly slaughtered until we know for sure that it was properly slaughtered. How is Rashi's pshat explained? So Mefarshim say that pshat in Rashi is mechaskin the isser isser. Indeed, it doesn't anymore certainly have the isser eva menachai. The animal is dead. But since it had that isser, and we don't know that the isser or the animal went away, the isser remains. So again, behema b'chayeh b'cheskes isser imedes, any live animal has cheskes isser, at shivad lo b'man nishkata, until we know that it was properly slaughtered. Nishkata, once it was properly slaughtered, harei b'cheskes heter, now it has a cheskes heter, until we know that it's treif. So the Gemara explains itself. Ma sover, the Tanakh of the Braisa holds the cheskes iser kaima. It had a cheskes iser, the hashta mesehi, and now that it's dead, it retains that cheskes iser. And there are a number of pshatim and the Rishonim and the Achronim how to understand what the Gemara says here. The Rashba, as Rabbi Kiva Eger explains, the Rashba says that the animal, as long as it was alive, we know, did not have a proper shechita. And an animal that doesn't have a proper shechita is matama b'nevela. So until we know for sure that it had a proper shechita, we treat it as a nevela and it's matama. The Shev Shemaitza, the Nigyantiv, the Stipler, explain the Gemara very simple. They say, if we're saying that it's usur to eat this animal, so it must be because it's a nevela. In other words, they're saying that the Issa nevela and the Issa tumma travel together. And it was saying there's an Issa achila, there must be an Issa nevela as well as the Issa tumma. Or Ma'asava, the Cheskas Issa Amir, we say said there's a Cheskas Issa, the Cheskas tumma lo Amir, we don't say there's a Cheskas tumma. The way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is very simple. An animal, while it's alive, had a cheskas isser. An animal, while it's alive, did not have a cheskas tumma. On the contrary, we're all well aware that a live animal is not metama. And since it doesn't have a cheskas tumma, that it remains that way, that it has a cheskas tahara. Interesting to note. We look at Rashi, at the beginning of this Gemara, Rashi said that the Cheskas Isser was, as we said, Cheskas Isser Eina Menachai. That's Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil, Behema B'chayeh B'Cheskas Isser. Then, we look at Rashi, Marsa B'Cheskas Isser, Divrei HaMaskil, Marsa B'Cheskas Isser. Rashi says that the Chazaka was Shlohoi Seshchuta. So the Chasam Sofer points out that isn't there a contradiction in Rashi? The first Rashi seems to say that the Cheskas Isser is a Cheska Is Eva Menachai, and then Rashi says that the Cheskas Isser is Cheska Eina Shchuta. So what is Rashi's opinion? So the Sam Sofer wants to suggest that the Machloikis between Rav Elazar and the Tanakh and the Braisa is precisely this Machloikis. If we say that the Cheskas Isser is Cheskas Eva Menachai, so then, Eva Menachai is not Matama, and therefore, it will be Osir Ba'achila, but it will not be Matama. But if we say that the Cheskas Isser is Cheskas Eina Zvucha, coupled with the Rajba that we just mentioned a moment ago, therefore, that will be the opinion of the Braisa. So in other words, the Machloikis between the Braisa and the Lozer is exactly what is the Cheskas Isser. The Braisa holds that the Cheskas Isser is a Cheskas Eina Zvucha, and Rav Elazar holds that the Chazaka is a Chazaka of Eva Menachai. Continues the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rav Huna. Behema b'chayeh b'cheskas isser medr. A behema, while it's alive, has a cheskas isser. Ad shivad alap b'man nishkata. Until we know that it was properly slaughtered. Nishkata, once it was properly slaughtered, b'cheskas heter medr. Now it has b'cheskas heter. Ad shivad alap b'man nishkata. Until we know that it became treif. Ask the Gemara, the wording of a cheskas heter is difficult to understand. Why does the Gemara just use the word cheskas heter? It should say nishchata hutra. Cheskas heter, as the Rishonim explained, seems to indicate that there is a question on the kashrus of this animal, and Rav Huna is telling us that we can rely on the cheskas heter. Where is there a question here that we should say that there's a cheskas heter? But, continue the Pnei Yeshua in asking, that even the wording that the Gemara wants him to use, the wording of nishchata hutra, is also certainly a difficult wording. Because it seems from here that the nishchata hutra, that it becomes mutter. Why does it have to say nishchata hutra? Of course, doesn't shchita accomplish that when you shecht it, it becomes mutter? To which the Pnei Yeshua says that the Gemara here is teaching us a halacha that the Rashba teaches us. We know, we're going to discuss this more in our coming shiurim, that we have to check the lungs of an animal after it's slaughtered if it didn't have any defects. What would be the halacha if the lung is missing? Says the Rashba that even though the halacha is that we're supposed to examine the lungs, if the lungs are lost, then we could rely that the animal is kosher. And that's what says the Pnei Yeshua, Rav Huna means, what the Gemara would have meant if it said Nishchata Hutra. Nishchata Hutra means that the animal is kosher even if the lungs were missing. The Riha Levi, disagrees, and he says that if the lungs are lost before they were examined, you're not allowed to consume that animal. And the Shach explains that the Levi agrees that min haTorah, the animal is permitted even if the lungs weren't examined. However, he says that Pshan the Levi is that once Chazal established that one must examine the lungs, they're saying that as long as the lungs were not examined, the animal is forbidden, even if the lungs were lost. Chazal did not want this animal to be eaten without the checking of the lungs. So again, the Gemara's question is, why does Rav Huna use the word becheskes heteroi medes? Cheskes heter, as we explained, seemed to indicate that there was a problem, and the cheskes heter is being mapped to the problem. What is the problem? Answers the Gemara, Hok Mashmah, what Rav Huna is teaching us is, the afagav this alabareisa, that even though there's a problem that developed with this animal, the animal still remains permitted. Kribar minei, Rav Abba Rav Huna, bozev v'notu b'nei ma'ayim. If a wolf came and took the intestines of this animal, should we be concerned that the animal was a treifa or not? Notel asked the Gemara if we're referring to a case where the wolf took away the intestines, halasnu, they're not here. And of course, if they're not here, especially as we've been learning, if it's not the lungs, we certainly can assume that the animal is fine. And so the Gemara, Ella Nakud B'nei Ma'ayim. If the wolf made a puncture in the small intestines, Mahu, Wawbe Alocha, do we have to be concerned that the animal was a treifa beforehand or not? Ask the Gemara, if Nakav, if we see that the wolf is the one that made the hole, what's the question? Hakachazinun Tahu Nukvinu. It's obvious that it's the wolf that made this hole. Ella, says the Gemara, the question here is, Notlan, the wolf took away the intestines, v'chzirun kishinakuva mahu. He brought him back with a hole. Mi'chashinun, must we be concerned, shema nakvan b'makav nekav? Did he make the hole, did he puncture in a place that there was previously already a hole, that it was already a treifa or loy? Amalei, to which Rav Huna said, Ein choshishin shem b'makom nekev nekev. We need not be concerned that he made the hole in a place where there was a hole already. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. If we know that the wolf made a hole, we see that the wolf punctured the intestines, why would we have any havamina to assume that there was a problem here? So Tysus really, I think, answers this question. Because Tysus says that even if there are holes not in the place where we have teeth mark of the wolf, so therefore we can't so easily attribute these holes to the biting of the wolf, we could say that since we know that the wolf did some biting, we could continue assuming that the entire intestine, all of the holes that we have here, were done by the wolf. Another pshat, which really is relevant to a very important question, is how far do we have to be concerned on a suffix treifa? That means, in a situation where we have a question that this treifa might have developed while the animal was still alive. Tosis says that even in a case where we have a question that the treifa defect developed while the animal is alive, we could be lenient. The Ramah says that we could only be lenient on a suffix that comes after the Shechita. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that even if it came after the Shechita, we have to have some sort of indication that it came that way. If it, we don't have that indication, then we cannot be lenient. Now, there's a very interesting question. He says, Al Gemara is teaching us that if we found bite marks in the intestines, we could assume that those bite marks came from the wolf, and therefore the animal will be kosher. What would be the halacha if those bite marks are found in the lungs? Given that we just quoted the real Levi, as the Shach explains, that it's forbidden to eat an animal whose lungs were not examined. So even in the case where we know that the wolf bit the lungs, but now it becomes impossible to check those lungs, the halacha will be that we can't eat this animal. However, the crazier place, he says, that in the case of the wolf bite in the lungs, it could be that the real Levi will agree that you can eat the animal. Because he explains that the case where the wolf bit the lungs is different than lost lungs. In the case of lost lungs, Chazal said that you're not allowed to eat this animal because we were concerned that somebody may come to throw away the lungs and claim that they were lost. But in the case that we're discussing, where the lungs are present and they have bite marks in them, so there's no concern that the person will deliberately throw away the lungs, and therefore under those circumstances, perhaps even the Reha Levi would be lenient in allowing to eat this from this animal. Eisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Roa Tzipra HaMenaka B'Teina, if somebody saw a bird pecking at a fig, or Achbar HaMenaka B'Avtichen, or he saw a mouse biting from watermelon, Choshe, we have to be concerned, Shem B'Mokim Nakav, that maybe there was a hole already here, a hole made by a snake. And as we're going to learn, whenever there's a concern that a snake or an animal with poison had bit from a fruit, that fruit becomes usur. We're concerned here that perhaps there was a hole here from before. So isn't this a proof that we are concerned that maybe there was a hole in the place where we now have a hole? Unlike what we're learning here, that we aren't concerned that the wolf made a hole in a place where there was a previous hole. Amalei, to which Rav Huna responds, Mikum Adamus is Surah L'Sakanta. What's the comparison of a question of Issa to Sakana? Sakana, Shani. And as the Chasam Sofer says, a beautiful explanation in this answer. He says, when we have a situation of Safik Issa, and the Torah tells us that the Safik Issa is Mutter, so now there's no halachic issue. But on the other hand, with the Safik Sakana, it's not a question of halacha. Is this mutter or is this asur? It's a question that the person may be ingesting poison. For that, we can't rely that the halacha tells us mutter or asur. And that's why we're more machma by Sakana than we are by Issa. Amalei Rava. So the Gemara is differentiating between a Safik Sakana and a Safik Issa. By Safik Sakana we're machmer, by Safik Isser we perhaps be megal. Asked Rava, Maishna Safik Sakanta L'chumra. You're saying that the halacha is by Safik Sakana, we always go L'chumra. Safik Isura says Rava, we also go L'chumra. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya responds, V'leishani, is there no difference between Isura L'Sakanta? V'ila, we know the halacha is based on the halacha of the Soita. The halacha is Safik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim. It is a Safik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Svei Ketar. We go with Kula. We have a Safik Mayim Gulim. If there's a question, was this water exposed to the snake? We're Machmer. So in other words, Abaye is saying that there is a difference between a Safik Sakana where we're Machmer and a Safik Sakana Isser where we could be Makel. Amalei, to which Rava responds, Hasam. There's a special halachal moshim Sinai taught us by Soita, that just like a Soita, Brishus HaYochid, the old parish of a Soita where the woman is accused of adultery and she declares a saita is only if she was in private with the person she's accused to have a relation with, but only if she wasn't Rosh Hashayachid, that's where we say Tumah Rosh Hashayachid. So too, but under normal circumstances, we Machmer by Safik Tumah. In other words, as the Shmaitz, as the Chef Shmaitz explained to Gemara, everybody agrees that Safik Tumah Brishus HaRabim is Tahar. Everybody agrees that Safik Tumah Brishus HaYochid is Tumah. The Machloikis between Abai and Rava is what is the Halacha and what is the exception, what is the rule and what is the exception to the rule. Abai holds that the rule is really Safik Tumah is, that Safik is, so we go Lekula. There's a special Halacha that the Torah teaches us by a site of Rosh HaYochid that we should be Machmer. Rava holds just the opposite. That the base halacha is that Safik Isser, we go Lechumra. There's a special halacha by Saita that Safik Tumah Rosh HaRabim, we're Maker. And as the Chef Shemaitza explains what is the basis of the Machloik Sabaya Rava, he wants to connect it to the famous Machloikis of the Rambam and Rashba. We know the halach is by Safik Rabbanan we go Lekula, and by Safik Raisa we go Lechumra. The machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashba is this halacha that we say Safik Raisa Lechumra, is that Midoraisa, is that a din that the Torah taught us, or that the Rabbanan, is it only a din that the Rabbanan taught us? Abai is of the opinion, like the Rambam, that Safik Tumah Midaraisa, Safik Issa Midaraisa, Safik Daraisa should really be Lekula. It's the Rabbanan that taught us a new din that we should be Machmer by a Safik Daraisa. Because Abaye's opinion is that by every Safik Issa, the halacha is that we really should be lenient. There's a special new halacha L'moshe Mesinai that taught us that by Safik, by Saita B'Shus HaYachid, we should be Machmer. Rabba holds just the opposite. Rava holds that by a Safik Issa we're really supposed to be Machmer. And since by a Safik Issa we're really supposed to be Machmer, why? Because Rava says that the real halacha that the Torah teaches us is that every Safik Issa should be Lechumra. Safik Daraisa Lechumra, like the Rashba says, is a Daraisa Digadin. There's a special exception to the rule by a Safik Tumah Brishus HaRabim. Says the Gemara, Darasimi seems to side with Abaya based on a Braisa. Master of Simi, it says in a Braisa, Sheretz b'fi chulda, if there's a Sheretz, which you know is Mekama, in the mouth of a weasel, the chulda b'alexa gada kukush of truma, and that chulda is walking on loaves of truma, Safik noga, Safik loy noga, and we don't know if the Sheretz touched the truma or not, Sveik etavna, the Sveik we're maker. Vilu, Safik mayim agulam, when we have a question, was this water exposed to a snake? We're Machmer. So we clearly see, says Rav Simi, that there's a difference between Safik Isser and Safik Sakana. We're Makel by Safik Isser, and we're Machmer by Safik Sakana, as Abaye taught us. Answers Rava, Hasan Nami, you can't bring a proof from that case. Because, again, the Torah teaches us that Sait is the model of Safik Tumah. Hachas HaGemir Lama Saita. Ma Saita, what is the Saita? Saita is an intelligent woman. We can ask her, did she have a relationship or not? That's when we have the din of Safik Tumah that we differentiate between Shus HaYachid and Shus HaRabim. Av Hachnami, Dabi Shiyes Poydas Lishol. In the Braisa, we're speaking about loaves, where obviously loaves don't have any intelligence to ask, are you Torah or not? That's when the Torah taught us a special din that those loaves remain Torah. But that doesn't mean that Safik Isser we should be normally Maker. Safik Isser says Rav is like Safik Sakana, and we go Lechumra. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara now brings a Raya, that Safik Isser is not treated as strictly as Safik Sakana. Aravashi, Tashma, Tzluchas, there was a flask of water, Shenicha Megula, that was left uncovered. Rashi says that it was water that was designated to be used for the water of mixing the ash of the parah in it. Taisa says it could be, but it wasn't actually yet niskadish. It wasn't actually sanctified for that yet. Taisha says that it was already niskadish. Abar matz mechusa, it was left uncovered and now it's found covered. Tmeya, we have to assume that this water is tamer. Sheni oimer, for we need to say she adam tamer nifas l'sham kisa, that a tamer person was the one that touched it, and since the tamer person was the one that touched it, we that makes the water tamer. And as the Rishonim explained, because even though most people are tahar, we find throughout halacha that Chazal made different levels of stringency regarding the meichatis. Here too, they had to be concerned that maybe the person that touched it was tamei. Other Rishonim explained that since most people are amei oretz, and we've learned many times that Chazal said that amei oretz should be considered tameim, therefore, we have to assume that the tamei person touched it and made shaniyama adam tamei nichum to shavakisa and made the water tamei. What about henicha mechusa? If it was left covered, or ba'al matz megula, and now it's found uncovered, im yuchayl chodul lishtas v'menu, if a weasel was able to drink from it, or nachash l'divrei Gamliel, or a snake, according to Gamliel, who treats a snake and a weasel the same way, or dew fell on it at night, psula, the water becomes disqualified. Rashi gives two pshatim why it would become disqualified. Either because it's no longer mayim chayim means that it had that nothing was touched, that it wasn't like poured from one to another, and here what happens is that the animal drinks it and then expels it, so it's no longer mayim chayim, or it's considered mayim shenas ben melacha. And mayim shenas ben melacha is also disqualified for the paraduma. Baruch Shuba lady, ma tam, what is the reason that, why is the water tamei when the flask was uncovered and found covered? But in that case we consider it tamei, but in the second case we say it's disqualified in the case where it was covered and then found uncovered. Why in the first case is it considered tamei and the second case it's only considered disqualified? The answer is, b'nei shedarkon shesrotzim legalis, it's common for the shrotzim to uncover, v'en darkon l'chassis, and it's not their derech to cover it. So then, therefore, when we found a previously covered flask uncovered, we say that we follow the majority and we can assume that it did not come in contact with a tamei person. But if it was found covered, we have to assume that it was a tamei person that touched it. We have to assume that a tamei person touched it. Now makes the Gemara its point. Vilosofik mayim megulim, yet when there's a doubt about the safety of uncovered water, there everybody agrees the water is asur. Shema mina. So from here we see chamiras kanta misura, that we more strictly treat sakana more strictly than we treat isur. And therefore, when it comes to isur, we could say that it's only possible, but we don't necessarily say it's tamei. Why? Because when it's a question of isur, we take a more lenient approach. When it comes to sakana, we say we may not drink the water when there's ever a question, because chamira sakanta mi'isura.